Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Exploring Missions this weekend, I think, will be more special than a lot of the programs we've done. This is one that I've been talking about doing for several weeks, and my wife, Jan, said, get with it. So we are here today. Nathan and I are here at our microphones, but we have a guest today, Nathan, that I'm really excited about it. You're going to get to know him. I've been knowing him for a while, and I've gotten to be his interim pastor for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's Brother Earl Brown. Brother Earl, thank you.
You're welcome. Glad to attend.
Well, I'm glad you are here, and we appreciate your daughter, Lynn, getting you here. And let me just say on the front end, we celebrated Brother Earl's 100th birthday this past summer, and we was just joyful to be there and have a part in it. So happy birthday about 7 months later.
Thank you very much.
100 years.
Yes, sir.
If I do my math right, that means you was born in 1924.
That's correct.
Wow. A long, long time. And you're a member at Unity Baptist Church.
Yes.
Like I said, I've been there 6 months. I've enjoyed it tremendously, and one of the joys has been sitting close to Brother Earl and his wife, Miss Sarah.
Yes.
And it's been a joy. Jan's gotten to know them and talk to them, and it's been a pleasure. So we want to go over your story. Nathan, stories and people's lives, they really touch people, don't they?
Absolutely. A story is what God gives each of us. Each of us has a story. You might use the word testimony, but a story is something that holds attention to somebody else that's listening. I mean, that's the one thing you can do. You can always tell a story, and you're going to have an audience. And so to hear a story of a man who has lived for such a long time and walked with the Lord for such a long time, you've got everybody's attention when you speak. And we want to hear what you know and what you've seen and what you've experienced in your life.
We really do. And 100 years old, and we're praising God for it.
So well, do I.
Amen. Hey, how long have you been a member at Unity Baptist Church? By the way, Unity Baptist Church is real close to Tupelo, Mississippi, our headquarters. It's a great, great church, great history. And by the way, my uncle pastored there years ago.
Yes.
And you were there when my Uncle Buford was pastor, right?
I was when he came there, and as long as he pastored there.
Okay.
And we still have fond memories of he and Marge.
Yeah. How long do you think you've been a member at Unity?
Well, I don't really know how to count it up. But
is it close to 70?
Yes.
At least
70.
Was most of your children born while you were a member there at Unity?
Yes.
Okay.
My oldest son was born when I lived at Blue Springs, Mississippi, but all of the rest of them were born there in that community.
Well, speaking of that, how many children you think you might have, Nathan?
Well, I don't know.
Let's find out. Can you remember how many children you got?
Oh, yes.
How many?
Six.
Six. Four. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question.
That's all right.
Would you name them?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, there was Ronald and Lonnie and Martha and Walter and Lynn and Tracy.
That's all six.
Now, Walter is the one that I knew before anyone. Walter and I played basketball against each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you the outcome. I don't want to bring up bad memories for you. But anyway, and then he and I were students at Blue Mountain College together.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and just a great, great family. Love him and appreciate him so much. Well, let's go back to your salvation experience. Were you a young adult, a child, or What age group
I was,
were you in?
I don't remember for sure the correctly, but I think I was 11 years old.
11 years old.
I remember where we lived then.
Where's that?
From Morville, between Morville and Eggville, if you know where that is.
Okay. All of you that's listening to this interview, you're going to have to get a map of Northeast Mississippi and find this. And these are just communities right here in close and around Tupelo.
Yeah.
Farming communities.
Yeah, farming, yeah.
Back then, and is that what your family did? Did you farm when you were young?
Yes, we were farmers and big family, and I farmed all of my early life, well, until I was 40, I guess. And I farmed with mules to start with, and then I graduated to tractors, and I finally realized I was doing all this labor and harvesting crops to pay for tractors.
Yeah.
And I left that off,
yeah.
And I went to work for the Daily Journal.
That's the paper here in Tupelo.
Yeah. George McLean owned it.
Yeah. Well, how many years did you work there for a while and then move on?
I worked there, I think, 6 years.
Okay.
Then I worked 2 or 3 years for Pontotoc Progress in Pontotoc. Bob Cook owned it.
Yeah.
And then I went to work at FMC, a factory there close to where we lived, and worked there until I retired.
Okay.
And after I retired, my wife and I worked briefly for the Etowah County Times. We enjoyed that, really. I really did.
Yeah.
I got to use some of my old printing experience there.
Yeah.
Then I'm trying to think of the year when my first wife, Bertie Mae, and I married, but I guess you can't remember everything when you're 100. So.
You've got a built-in excuse. Don't worry about those dates.
So your first wife, y'all were married, and she is the mother of the 6 children.
Yes, and we were married, I believe it was 30, almost 40 years. And then my present wife just lived down the road, and she and I, Bertie and I, were good friends to her. And as it turned out, she didn't have a man, and I kind of took care of that.
So, now, a lot of men don't find one good woman. You found two.
I certainly did.
Listen, Miss Sarah and you are a blessing to so many people, especially at Unity Baptist Church.
Well, it's a blessing to us. It sure is.
Go ahead,
so,
Nathan.
So going back to an 11-year-old hearing the gospel and responding and following Jesus, what can you tell us about that? What memories do you have at that time?
All of them good ones. I think I was 11 years old. And my mother and daddy, they were members of the Church of God of Prophecy, and that's what I was brought up in. And I still have fond memories of those, and did have a lot of good people as members there. I've outlived them all, I think. But after studying the Word, and I hope the whole world hears this, if you study the Bible and accept what it says, you will be a Baptist.
Now, everybody in this room are not Baptists. We want you to know there's one of us. And he's looking at you real good. Okay.
Amen. I didn't realize I was catching that foot, the animal by the tail there. But
well, I've heard they say everybody in Mississippi is Baptist if they hadn't been messed with. So that is close to true. There's Baptist churches all over the place, aren't they, Nathan?
I will say this. I did have a Bible professor at Blue Mountain College, now Blue Mountain Christian University. And he said, if you pretty much follow the New Testament as best you can faithfully, you'll land somewhere between Baptist and Pentecostal. You'll be kind of a Bapticostal.
I fit into that category.
I do
pretty
too.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I really do.
Okay. Well, we've gone around it. World War II broke out in 1941.
Yes.
Let me see. My math is not that good right anymore, but in 1941... if you were born in 24, you were 17 years old?
Yes.
Well, what happened? Did you get drafted? Did you join?
I got drafted.
Drafted.
Yeah, I was going to join, but at that time, the armed forces, they quit taking volunteers, and they just drafted everybody as they needed them, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I was almost 18. I guess I was 18 when I was called, drafted. Stayed there. You can find your record right there on
right
my cap.
Here. Yeah, we wish we had a picture of this, and it is where he served in the ninth month, the 17th day in 1943.
Yeah.
Until January the 17th, 1946.
Yes.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
Two and a half years.
Roughly, yes.
And you were in the Navy.
I was in the Navy. I remember the day that we were inducted into the armed forces. The Army, I guess, was the main operator of this place. But they had four desks lined up, and at each desk there was a recruiter. You did have that much choice. You could take the branch that you wanted to, but there was a big but there. I was going to join the Air Force, but these desks were just in a row, and as it turned out, the Air Force was the first one, and that's what I was intended to join. Well, the guy in front of me was the last one they took that day.
Oh.
So the next choice was the Navy, which I took.
And saw the world?
So a lot of it.
A lot of it anyway.
We went on a shakedown cruise for a new ship, that little wooden ship. I think it was about 30 feet wide and 120 feet long, solid wood, and about like a cork. Out in some of these weathers we were in. But the Lord took care of me. I can honestly tell you that, of course, I was saved when I married. I was saved, and saved when I went in the armed forces. In the sleeping quarters that I was assigned to, we had three bunks, one over the other. In daylight hours, they folded up against the wall, or the bulkhead, we called it. And I was on the top one looking at the underside of what they was walking on up there, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of conversations with the Lord right there.
I bet.
And I'd ask him every night when we were not engaged in battle one way or another, and sleeping there, I'd ask the Lord to keep me till morning. And I don't know why I kind of thought it. I didn't pray out loud, but the Lord heard every word of it.
Yeah, he listens, doesn't he, Nathan?
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
We got an all-seeing and all-hearing Father.
I'm thinking of a verse, Psalm 18, verse 25. It just simply says, "To the faithful, you," talking to the Lord, "you show yourself faithful." The Lord was faithful to you. He showed himself faithful to you.
Yes.
Not just in that moment. I'm sure there's been so many moments over the course of your life where you can give testimony, your story, about how God has been faithful to you.
Oh, yes. If I could remember it all, you wouldn't have time to hear it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Being in the Navy and you out in the ships that you were in, y'all did see combat.
Oh, yes. I was in the invasion of Saipan and Tinian and Iwo Jima and Okinawa.
Oh, wow.
And to my Lord's credit, I did not get a scratch.
Is that?
And there was people being killed all around us, and just so quickly. I know as soon as our forces captured and was in control of the Saipan Island, they would let us on these small ships get in a boat and just go walking over the island a little while. But one thing that was so easy to remember, we'd take our binoculars and we could see real close. About the third or fourth day of the battle for Saipan, bodies were laying in black bags stacked up just like cardboard on the beach, waiting for a ship to come and get them and take them back to the States.
Mm.
And that's exactly how they were, just stacked up about three or four deep on the beach, waiting to be carried home. And that's something that I remember very explicitly.
Yeah.
Because I knew some few of those who didn't make it, that they gave their life for their country.
We're talking to Brother Earl Brown. He's a 100-year-old saint of God, serving the Lord still, living for the Lord. I happen to be able to be his interim pastor for 6 months, and it's been a joy of mine and Jan's life to get to know he and his wife, Miss Sarah. And we wanted you on. Now, what happened was, and this is when Jan said, you got to get him on. We were having a prayer service back in November, right before the election, and we agreed that we was going to pray and ask God to do a great work in our lives. And
he did.
He did. And we just broke out into singing.
Yes.
And we were real close to you. And Jan said, do you hear Brother Earl? Man, he is. I knew you were in the choir. I knew you had led music. But you started singing. Now, I'm just asking, do you feel like breaking out in a song right now, whatever song you'd like? Now, you don't have to, but I got to ask.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Hey, amen. Nathan, you think you could do that?
Not that well.
Let me just say, I know the words, and thank you. Thank you, Brother Earl.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, let's talk about this. You're still singing in the choir.
Yes.
You take your walking stick, and you get up there, and you sing with those men and women praising the Lord.
Yes.
Does that mean a lot to you?
It certainly does. And you know, it's so touching to me. Each Sunday morning, you know where we sat at church on the left-hand side. Well, the entrance to the choir, where most of them went up, was on the right-hand side, so you had to walk right in front of everybody. But anyway, when I'd get to the steps that you go up into the choir, you talk about being touched and people showing love. There's the ladies set in front, of course, and for me to go up and sit down in the choir, we sit directly behind the ladies. Well, those ladies are kind of fussing who gets to help me up their stairs first. And that's the truth. In fact, I can't hardly talk about it without just breaking up, because you may never run across anybody that's been blessed any more than I have to be a member of Unity Baptist Church, and the pastors that we've had had come and gone. And the one I'm looking at now, our interim pastor, Brother Bert, you couldn't find an enemy, your enemy at church, because you don't have one.
Well, listen, we're enjoying it. We have enjoyed it, and praise God for what he has done. And people that are looking for churches that are good, they're out there.
Yeah.
And they're all sizes. Some of them are smaller, medium size, larger, but they're out there, aren't they, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. Brother Earl, you are a living testimony, a witness of not just Jesus and what he's done in your life, but what his body, his bride, his church can be in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And you're a part of that as well. And I'm sure everybody at the church would say the same about you, that they're blessed to know you. I think what I'm trying to say is that there's a place for every age in the church.
Yes.
There's a place of service. There's a place where you can receive and be ministered to, but you're also a minister at your age, and that's a wonderful thing for all the generations coming behind to see that and to see you as a living witness of what God's faithfulness through the years.
Well, you know, I've thought a lot of times, you all probably have seen times when someone professes Christ and joins the church, and they're active for a while, but seemingly one way or another, they drop out. And that's one of the most pitiful things to me, to know where I won't do it, but I can think of half a dozen people in our community. At one time, they were such a blessing just to be around them, you know. And you know, you can tell when someone is close to the Lord and enjoying his blessings, it'll show.
Yep. Amen. It does.
The Lord has been so good to me. Sarah and I talk about this often. I can't think of any way if I had the riding and the ability to question the Lord, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it because he has really stood by me. And first of all, with my first wife, she was a dear Christian. Went to school with her, dated her and married her. She raised my children and all that. And she was a solid Christian in the home with the children. And she didn't mind riding a two-wheel trailer to church and pull with a tractor. And that's what we did. The early years of all of our children, all but the last three or four, I finally got a car. But anyway, for a long, many years, our trip to church every Sunday and Sunday night, Wednesday night, I had a farm all tractor that I farmed with and a two-wheel trailer. And Bertie, me and the children, we'd get on that trailer with it sitting on a quilt, and we'd go to church with it, and I'd park the tractor down in the shade by the church. That's what we'd ride back home with. And that's some of the dearest hours of my life. And I have to tell you, too, that I would be so hurt if I didn't know all my children are saved.
Amen.
Amen. But
amen.
My second son, he passed away last year. He was a member of the church. He was saved. He had some questions in his life that he regretted. But Tracy, my youngest son, he is saved, and he has a lot to do with me at different times. And I was so thankful. Lonnie, he became an alcoholic, and he was seemed like he could not shed it. One of the things that was such a blessing to me was I worried a lot of times down through the years that he wasn't too active in church, and he was a good guy in his own way. He was not a mean person at all. But anyway, I guess a week or two before he passed away, Tracy, my youngest son, I can't always tell it. He said, "Daddy, I got to go talk with Lonnie." And he went down to visit him. And he said, "I got to ask if you're saved." And Lonnie gave a great testimony.
Amen.
That he was saved. Yep. He knew the Lord. And he was really so ashamed of his failures.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the slightest doubt. When the Lord called him home, he knew where he'd go. He'd be in heaven with his mother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, amen. Thank you, Mr. Earl. I appreciate that so much. I want to make sure we get one or two more things that we want to talk about, and that is your service in the church. What we're doing, this is missional. This is exploring missions, and some of the missions that we do is living the life that others see Jesus in you.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, I know the members at Unity well enough, they've seen Jesus Christ in you. But you do that also by serving, don't you?
Yeah, that's my most important thing in my life. The Lord's blessed me down through the earth with good friends a lot of times and a good enough place to live, plenty to eat and all that sort of thing. But most of all is the fact that he bless me with the ability to serve him to some degree in his church.
Amen.
And
amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And so if I tried to remember or tried to think about what heaven's like,
amen,
it's impossible.
That's the reason they wrote the song, "I Can Only Imagine," and it's not even complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nathan, missions, is it in the home as well as everywhere else?
Yeah, we talked about, I mean, all the ways you've served, and serving your country, and also serving in the church, and your testimony now of just passing on the good news of Jesus to your family. Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 3 says, tell your children about it in the years to come.
Yeah.
And let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. Thank you for doing that.
Well, I know I haven't been perfect in it, but I've tried, and it's such a blessing to me that the friends we have in church, and I've wondered a lot of times, how does anybody live in this world and get by with any satisfaction and don't go to church?
Yeah. Well, we are encouraging people to do that. You may be one of those. There are people that's been hurt. But I just want to tell you, it's worth forgiving and getting up and going on.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is real. We've been forgiven a lot, haven't we, Nathan?
Absolutely.
So have I.
Yeah. There's no perfect church. If there was, and I went to it, it would cease being perfect, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there's faithfulness. There's God's faithfulness to us. And our response can be faithfulness to him.
Yes.
And he can use our faithfulness in service to him and to impact other people's lives.
Absolutely.
Our founder, Reverend Don Wildman, and he said it well. He said, we may not can be anything, but we can be faithful. And that is the whole idea. And that is the main reason, Brother Earl, that I wanted you to be here on Exploring Missions, faithful. All the way through, faithfully. And Paul wrote that he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered.
Yeah.
And he said, waiting on me is a great reward.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Earl, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for the privilege.
And we pray that God would keep you around longer and see what all God has done. But I think you can look forward to hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over these things. I'm going to make you master over many. Thank you, Mr. Earl, for being with us.
You're so welcome, and I owe it all to the Lord. I really do. He's blessed me in so many ways. Sarah and I now talk about once in a while how the Lord still does bless us like he does, you know. And the people at church, of course, they know me, and they not that I deserve it, but they show me favors in ways that you'd never mention.
Amen. Well, they love it. And they enjoy being around you, and I've enjoyed. So we want to challenge those of you who are listening this weekend, stay on mission for God. We say get on mission. How about staying on mission for God? And let God bless you here in the future, and God might have his way.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on American Family Radio.